Hello and welcome to the Victory Devotional Podcast. We invite you to take the next few minutes to connect with God, hear His voice, and respond in worship and prayer. Here's today's message.
Amen and amen. Okay, we're going to close this week out by talking about the church. And let me just take you to Matthew chapter 16. Verses 13 to 18. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You know, this moment was a turning point in the relationship between Jesus and the disciples. See, up until this point, the disciples truthfully were still unsure just who Jesus was. I mean, they freely acknowledged, "Yeah, teacher, okay, rabbi, in fact, Lord pa nga eh, di ba?" But even as recent as Matthew 8, which just happened a few months prior to Matthew 16, it says there, the disciples asked among themselves, sabi nila, "What sort of man is this?" Parang, that's after Jesus calmed the storm. So, after having seen miracles and all, taranta pa rin sila, di ba? Ano ba talaga siya? Sino ba talaga siya? Okay? What sort of man is he? And so, this was the first time that Peter confessed, representing the 12, that Jesus truly was the Messiah. And so, at this point, they crossed the line of faith. From here on, they were no longer trying to figure out intellectually who Jesus was. They understood in their hearts by faith truly who Jesus was. And in response to this revelation of Peter, Jesus revealed his eternal plan to reconstitute the people of God from being just Israel under the old covenant to a new people of God under the new covenant through his sacrifice on the cross. And the word he used for this eternal plan, which Paul referred to later as the mystery of the ages, is the church. One word, church. That's what Jesus said. And the honest truth is, again, at this point, so nagets sila, Jesus is the Messiah. Medyo hindi pa rin nagets ng disciples. They didn't fully understand again this eternal plan naman ngayon about the church and all that. And it's okay. Actually, there's a lot of things the disciples didn't understand. Diba? Parables. Tatanong nila si Jesus after Jesus would teach, "Lord, what did you mean?" Diba? And then Jesus made at least 3 references during his time with them about his coming death and sacrifice. And the Bible says, it just went over the heads of the disciples. Hindi nila nagets. But after Jesus rose again from the dead, they look back at his words and the events and what they witnessed, and okay, finally they understood. This the idea of a church was the same thing. Okay, the disciples didn't get it at this point. In fact, even later, hindi pa rin nalagets ng disciples. Even nasa Book of Acts tayo, churches. The church was already birthed. The church was the Holy Spirit was poured out. Basically created the church, hindi pa rin nila maintindihan. Even Paul, if we're all honest, didn't fully grasp the meaning of the church. Akala nila, Paul and the early apostles originally thought that the new covenant or the new move of God was a reformation within Judaism. You have to understand how deeply ingrained in their culture, in their theology, in their doctrine, in their mindset, that the people of God were the Jews alone. Okay? So, ang akala nila, i-reform lang yung Judaism from within, that there will be a revival, if I can use a present-day word, to project it back to them. It was only after the repeated directions of the Holy Spirit, after the harvest among Gentiles and the Antioch church, and the repeated objection and rejection and persecution from the Jews, that finally it dawned on Paul in particular, okay, that the church is no longer limited to one ethnicity, but the new people of God, that Jesus was reconstituting, was made up of men and women from every nation. The circumcision that applied to Israel before physical, in the new church, it was a circumcision of the heart. It was now a spiritual circumcision made available to all who would confess faith in Jesus Christ. And so this word translated into church in English, in Greek, meant ekklesia. Sorry, not meant, but the Greek word was actually ekklesia, which meant an assembly. Ganun lang kasimple. It's an assembly of people. The other definition is very interesting, out from and into. So in general usage, back then in the first century, it referred to an assembly of citizens called out from their homes into a public space. Okay, so I don't know, may messenger who would, I don't know, signal, trumpet, labas kayo sa bahay nyo. Itatranslate ko sa Pilipinas, ha? O, labas kayo sa bahay, mga kaibigan. Doon tayo lahat sa plaza. Okay? Magkita-kita at magsalo-salo. Okay? May malaking, importanteng meeting or announcement. Something to see. Something. That, yun yung ekklesia. Okay? So, applied to the church, it meant the body of believers called out from the world and into the kingdom of God to gather for worship. So Jesus used a secular word to refer to the eternal plan of reconstituting the people of God. So to be honest with you, in my first 30 years of ministry, I didn't like this definition. Napaka-generic naman. Assembly, yun na yun. Physical gathering, yun na yun. Really, the same word you would use for a barangay meeting, for a political rally, for a socio-civic gathering, is the same word we use for the church. So, but I had no choice. That's the word, really, that appears in Scripture. So, ituturo ko lang and then I move on. I never really dug down deep. Kasi nga, I felt dapat may spiritual word for the church, or dapat may special, exclusive Greek word. Eh wala. It was a common secular term. Again, same thing for a political rally, same thing for a social civic gathering as it is for the church. And then the pandemic hit. Okay? I'll be honest with you, the pandemic changed my entire understanding and appreciation for the word ekklesia. Kung naalala nyo, ECQ was declared on March 17, 2020. I remember I was in the office Monday on when the word came, beginning tomorrow, ECQ na ang buong Pilipinas. No more physical gatherings. Huh? So, nagkagulatan lahat, di ba? So, starting that Sunday, we all went directly online. Ready or not ready, whoosh, we all shifted online. And we had no idea. Gano'ng katagal to? Weeks? Months? Years? I mean, the feeling then was this was gonna take years, okay? So, matagal to. So, nagulat kami, this was March, so around April, early April, there was a church, a big church, friends natin sila, who declared, ang aga pa, April pa lang, from now on, we will be an online church. Okay, they said that publicly, and that even after the pandemic is over, whenever the pandemic will be over, years from now, we will never resume to being a physical church. We will all shift. We will just be an online church from here on. Wow! So nagulat kami. Wow, grabe. That's a bold declaration. Okay. Then there's another church, a highly respected church. Some of the Filipino theologians I respect the most attend this other church. Sila naman, they refuse to stop meeting. Okay, ECQ na, nagmi-meet pa rin sila in defiance of the government declaration. Ang salita naman nila, ang sabi naman nila, the prohibition on mass gatherings is a trampling of our religious freedom. Wow! Grabe! So sobrang, two godly churches, very extreme reactions, responses, and positions on the church. So the question basically was, What about us, Victory? What is our position? And so finally, if inaalala yung mga May 15, MECQ was declared, modified ECQ. Mahigpit pa rin, nagloog ng konti. And so at that moment, some of the senior leaders, we would come to the office once a week. Once a week lang. Lapang kuryente, remember. And we decided this, okay, eh, total bawal pa rin ang mass gatherings. Eh. So we had a bit of time. Okay, let's do this, we said. Let's meet once a week here. Okay, let's go home, read our Bibles for a week, come back here every week, and ito lang aralin natin. How does the Bible define the church? Because we understood the pandemic will be over at one point. So nag-MECQ eh. So mukhang medyo nag- okay, at some point, the pandemic will be over. What is our response? Who is the church? So let's study. I forget kung 3 weeks namin ginawa yun or 4 weeks. At the end of this weekly meeting, and during these meetings, we come back, we read our Bibles, and then we debate, we discuss, we dialogue, we argue, ganyan, ganyan. At the end of it, we will make a decision on what the church is according to Scripture. And that will be the position of Victory. And so true enough, at the end of 3 or 4 weeks, we arrived at an important decision, a very clarifying moment for us. I felt one of our most important seasons in Victory. And we decided that according to the Word of God, the church is the physical gathering of believers for corporate worship. That was our conclusion. Not according to our preconceived notions, not according to our philosophy, not according to the Every Nation mission or the Victory vision, that according to Scripture. And so with all due respect to our church friend who declared that they will be an online church, we disagreed with them. We came to the conclusion, according to Scripture, there is no such thing as an online church. Online training, pwede, di ba? Online equipping, sure, pwede. Online small group, even, pwede. Okay. Online outreach, pwedeng pwede. But online church, Scripture says, it's the coming together. It's coming out and coming together physically. Now, again, we recognize the pandemic was an extraordinary event. And so, for the sake of public safety, we will abide by the government's regulations. Okay? But again, the church, online services are simply a supplement and never a substitute for the physical church. And so, the physicality, the gathering together of believers is the nature and the definition of the church. And again, with all due respect to the other church that, again, I deeply respect, we disagree that the prohibition on mass gatherings was a trampling of our religious freedom. Because, number one, they did not single out religious gatherings. Number two, they did not single out Christian gatherings. Lahat ng mass gatherings, bawal. Kahit sports, kahit politics, kahit family, lahat bawal. So, this was not a discrimination of anyone, we felt. We felt it was the government's best attempt to try to fulfill its role. And so, we decided then, based on that conclusion, if the church then is a physical gathering, and again, the government's prohibition was a legitimate use of its authority, then, as soon as the government allows us, and whatever they give us, we will take it. And kung di ko nagkakamali, by late August, they allowed for, well, they call it mass gatherings, pero I remember 5%. 5%, as soon as they allow us, we will gather 5% of the people. 10%, they give us 10%, they increase, we will do 10%. 20%, 20%. Oop, nagkaroon ng, nakalimutan yung mga terms, medyo umano ulit yung ano, back down to 5%. Okay, we will go back down to 5%. So no matter how impractical and difficult, we will take whatever the government gives us because we felt we want to fight for and stand on the biblical definition of a church, which again is a physical gathering. So it was in the context of the pandemic that I realized that the definition of the church, ecclesia, the physical gathering, physical assembly, was actually a gift of God to the church. Doon ka nakita. First time. Ngayon, that's why I'm teaching it now. Now I'm so excited and I'm so thrilled to teach this. It clarified the significance, the importance, and the role of the believers coming together physically to congregate with a common purpose of worshiping God together. That's one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. For when we are together, God moves in, through, and among all of us. So to all of you who have been attending our on-site services since the pandemic, thank you so much. And to all the rest of you who still have not taken that leap of faith, I hope, really, in my heart, in the bottom of my heart, to see you this Sunday in one of our victory services. Why don't we lift this morning up again to God in worship.
Jesus, Jesus, you're the anchor of hearts. Jesus, Jesus, you're the
Before you go and enjoy your weekend, allow me to pray a prayer of blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. Good morning. Have a happy weekend.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope this helps you build a habit of hearing from God daily. For more messages like these, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to watch these messages live every morning, visit us on facebook.com/victoryph.